you would please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Romans. We're going to chapter 5, and we're starting with verse 1 and going to verse 11. That's Romans 5, 1 through 11. If you're using the Bibles in front of you, you can find that on page 798. This is what God's Word says. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into His grace, in which we now stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that sufferings produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. Now you see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrated His love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by His blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Him? For if when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to Him through the death of His Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through His life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. Awesome passage of Scripture, and look forward to hear what God has to say to us today about hope.
As I reflect upon that song, I can't help but think of newness. You know, we've started a new year. God is going to place fresh opportunities before us. We have not only started a new year, but we have also, every day we're going to be given brand new opportunities to serve God and to honor Him in our life. Tammy and Rosie are going to find newness. They're going to find new friends. They're going to find a new spiritual family to worship together with. There's going to be a lot of newness. And yet, in all of that, there is hope. Because of the great gift that God has given us, and that's His Son, Jesus. I'm going to ask you to please open up your Bibles once again to the book of Romans, chapter 5. I want to share with you this passage from verse 1 through verse 11 this morning, with the thought in mind of a new hope. A new hope. You know, it is described in Vine's Expository Dictionary. The word hope is defined this way: it is the happy anticipation of good. That's hope. The happy anticipation of good. And you know, when we look at all that God has promised us in life and in eternal life, it's all good. God has given us a future in His presence. God has given us life that is filled with hope, a happy anticipation of good. There's going to be some amazing reunions when the moment of hope becomes the moment of experience at the close of this life. When Jesus comes back, there's going to be an amazing resurrection, a hope of a new body, a body that will never suffer pain or sickness or sorrow. There's going to be a new mind that each and every one of us is going to get. The Bible tells us that we're going to know as Christ knows because we are going to be exactly like Him. Man, that's a new hope. It's going to remove the Pittsburgh Steelers from our memory. That's a part of my new hope. And for you Cleveland Browns fans, it's probably a part of your new hope too. No, in reality, everything is going to be just absolutely incredible when that hope is brought to completion. Paul, in this passage of Scripture, and I'm going to give you five things this morning, but Paul, in this passage of Scripture, shares with us a bit of this concept of hope. And we want to look at, in regards to a new hope, we want to look at, first of all, the path. Secondly, the process. Third, the persons. Fourth, the performance. And then number five, the price. So let's look at these five elements that are brought out in regards to hope in this particular passage of Scripture. First of all, the path. Look at verses 1 and 2 with me, if you would. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have also attained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exult in hope of the glory of God. The path, you see, the path to genuine, true hope is the path through Jesus Christ. For apart from Him, apart from faith, apart from the gift that God has given us to give us life, there is no hope. But we are, in fact, of all people, most hopeless, or as the Scriptures say, most miserable. But because of Jesus Christ and what He has performed for us through the cross and through the resurrection, we are given a hope that we can exalt in, a hope that we can rejoice in, a hope that brings joy and encouragement and strength and a future. But the path is established. And the established path for this kind of hope is through Christ. Nowhere else. Through Christ. Jesus was meeting with the boys after the resurrection. And He's talking with them. And He brings out an interesting statement about our witness and about our character. And He says to those disciples, He says, by this shall all men know that you are My disciples, that you have identified with Me in that you obey whatsoever I have commanded you. In other words, that you follow the path and the example that I have set for you. Folks, hope comes by doing it God's way, not ours. Hope comes by living faithfully and obediently to Christ because of what He has provided for us. He is the great Creator, but He is also the great sacrifice. He is the coming King, but He is also the suffering servant. And He has established the path whereby we might have eternal hope. And that is through His plan and His will and His way. You want a new hope? Follow the old path. Number two, I want you to notice the process of this new hope. Look at verses 3 and 4. He says, and not only this, not only do we exult in the hope of the glory of God, and not only this, but we also exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance, proven character, and proven character, hope. And proven character, hope. You see, there is a process of building blocks that come into making us into complete creations in Christ. If we are to be complete in Christ, we've got to go through the process, folks. There are going to be those times in this life when we are exulting, when we are happy, when we are rejoicing, when we are, God forbid, dancing. That should have woken some of you up. But you see, those times when we're going to exult in our faith and just rejoice and be thrilled and filled with the essence and the presence of God. And then there are going to be those times that Paul tells us here where you're just going to have tribulations, where you're going to have difficulties. There are going to be those times when you are misunderstood. There are going to be those times when you are criticized and condemned. There are going to be those times when people are not going to understand the essence of who you are. And you're going to have troubles. I think of our brothers and sisters in various Muslim countries and what they're going through as they are trying their best to live for Christ, and they're getting nothing but tribulation in return for that. And yet, what do? They exalt in the hope of what God has in store for them. And when persecution comes, they don't quit. They don't back down. They're even willing to die for the cause of Christ. When they said yes to Jesus, it meant something, because it may cost them their life. We have become spiritual mushies in the United States. That's why we're unfaithful in our church attendance. That's why we're unfaithful in our commitments. That's why we see so much unfaithfulness in marriages. That's why we see so much unfaithfulness in all different realms of life, because our faith hasn't cost us. But the day is coming when we're going to have to stand up for Christ. Will we be prepared? If we understand the process, we are going to have tribulations. But that's what's going to bring about perseverance. Perseverance means I'm going forward with God. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what my neighbor says. I don't care what anyone else says. I'm going through this with God, and that's the way it's going to be. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That kind of a process has got to be worked out, because that's what brings about proven character. Will I be the same regardless of who's on the other end? Am I going to be the same person that I sit beside in the pew when I'm working with someone else in the shop who is godless? Am I going to be the same person? Am I going to speak the same speech that I worship God with as when I walk into that place of godlessness? Will I have proven character? Or will I be wishy-washy? Be proven. Because proven character then is what produces hope. That happy anticipation of good. God works all things together for good to those who are called according to His purpose. And that call, folks, means commitment to Him more than anything. Number three, I want you to notice the persons that are involved in this new hope. Look at it in verses 5 and 6. And hope does not disappoint because, here it comes, the love of God has been poured out within our hearts. So there's God the Father, who's one of the persons involved in our hope. The New Testament word here is Jehovah. The Old Testament word is Yahweh, the Father, the Creator. All right? And His love has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. He is the one who brings light and understanding and salvation to our hearts through His work, through His ministry in our lives, who has been given to us, who will follow God. Notice how He says it. And the hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Now look at this, verse 6. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. So we have involved in this whole process of hope, with this whole promise of hope, we have the entire Trinity involved in bringing this to us and bringing that about. And folks, I'm going to be absolutely honest with you. What God brings to us through the power of the Trinity and through the person of involvement in our lives, what God brings to us, nothing and no one can ever take that away. For God is the producer of hope. Wow. Does God love us that much that He involves the essence of the Trinity, all three of them, in our lives? Yes, He does. God loves us that much. That gives us hope. He'll never be defeated. We have to have proven character, the building blocks of a faith that is unshakable, that produces a commitment that's unalterable. Number four, the performance. Look at verses 7 and 8. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for the good man someone would dare even die. But now look at the contrast. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We have people in this nation who are willing to die for the cause of freedom. They serve in our military. They travel all over this world. Some of them are even willing to die for others' freedom, to try to set them free so that they can have life. God died for those who were totally rejecting Him. He died for everyone who would ever live or ever breathe. He died that anyone could come to Him and find life. Why? Because God has a great hope for you and I. Just like we have a new hope for life in Him forever, He has great hope for His children. How many people here want to see their children be total failures? I'm going to put my hands in my pocket so I don't raise them. I don't see one hand. There isn't anyone here who wants to see their kids be total failures. Well, then what makes us think that God is okay with us being total failures in our spiritual lives? God doesn't want us to be failures. He doesn't want us to be victims. He wants us to be victors. He wants us to succeed. He wants us to be godly representatives of His grace, of His faith, of His hope in this world in which we live. He wants us to be godly influences everywhere that we go, not just in the church, but in the shop, in the office, in the automobile, wherever. Why? Because, as verse 8, the second part says, Christ died for us. So He wants us to succeed in Him. Number 5, the price. Look at verses 9, 10, and in particular 11. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only this, now catch this, but not only this, but we also exalt, rejoice, are happy in, are glad. We exalt in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. You see, there it is. God paid the price for our salvation through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that we might be the beneficiaries of eternal life. God paid a high price for you and I. What have you paid for Him? We had a whole group of people stand up here, beginning of this service, taking vows before you, yes, more importantly, before God. And God takes that serious. Leaders, take your responsibilities seriously. Congregation, take your responsibility to pray for these leaders seriously. Pray and pray and pray. Because the enemy of our souls, Satan himself, wants to see failure. But God wants to see success. And He wants to see the kingdom built. And He wants this church to honor Him. Above anything else, honor Him. Sometimes that's tough. Sometimes it's painful. But it's always right. Honor Christ in all things. And you know what? You have hope. A happy anticipation of the future. Hope. Let's stand. Perhaps there's someone here today, and I'm going to ask you to please take your hymnals and open up, if you would, to number 438. And we're only going to sing two verses of this, verse 1 and verse 4. But perhaps there's someone here today who would have to say, you know what? I have not plugged in to the hope that God has for me. In fact, I've been kind of a down-in-the-mouth Christian. Not been applying the building blocks of hope to my life. But today, I'm going to start that path. If that's your heart's beat, I'm going to ask you to come forward, kneel here at this altar. No one will bother you, but you'll just be making a profession before this congregation that from now on, I'm fully God's. And I'm asking you to pray for me. And so if that's what you would like, I invite you to come. Congregation, I'm going to ask you to take seriously, not to question why anyone has come, but to take them before the Lord in prayer. Commit yourself to be prayer warriors for those who come forward. God wants to do amazing things, and He wants you to be a part of it. A new hope. A happy anticipation of the future. It's your chance. So we're going to sing verses 1 and 4. And then we're closing in a word of prayer. And then council members, I'm going to want you right up here after the service. All right? Shall we sing verses 1 and 4? And if God's speaking to you, you step out and come.